When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, welcome to episode 4 of Cast and Crank Podcast with Justin McTeer and myself, Nick Trujillo. Our guest today is Charlie. He'd be Tatuna on Instagram. You should check out his stuff. So Charlie, tell us about fishing, how you got into it, what made you want to fish, if your dad got you into it. Tell us all about it.
I don't know what got into it. I think it was just boredom. Just something to do when you're a kid, you know?
Yeah.
It was probably like around 10 or so. Lived right down the street from Santa Fe Dam. So it's kind of where I learned everything about fishing and just started out, you know, Velveeta cheese, fishing for trout.
Yeah.
And we'd always just... There was like this water inlet. Whenever that would run, the trout would stack up and we'd sit right there and just, you know, soak bait, pluck away trout. And we always noticed there was this group of dudes. They would just walk the shoreline and they're always casting. Sometimes they'll pull up a bass, they throw it back. And we never threw anything back. We didn't, you know, we're kids. And we're like, what are they doing, man? These guys, they're moving around all the time and they keep catching fish. And eventually we became friends with them and they'd like, you know, get this Rapala, work it like this, and showed us how to fish crappie. And then that was it. We were just like full speed. Like, yeah, like how do you... There used to be a store called Sports Mart, and they had a section called Make a Lure. A section of baits called... And the bait name of the baits were Make a Lure. And it was all just... pieces of lures and you could build your own stuff. So we're like, sick. We're gonna get all the Make a Lure stuff, make our own like spinner baits and whatever you wanted, you know. And we just went fully into it. My buddy, he was older and actually had a computer back then, you know, it's like mid-80s, and started trying to formulate what's a bass's favorite food, what's their favorite color, and I don't know how we figured out what we did, but it was like purple worm, blue flake, white tail. That's bass's that's ultimate thing for didn't work better than anything else, but that's what we had came up with.
And
that was the beginning and that was it. I was hooked and ever since.
How old were you when you started fishing?
10 maybe. Yeah, wow. I was about 10.
Just with your buddies?
Just me and my buddy Roger. That was cool, it, man. Yeah, just me and him forever. And then those group of guys, we got kind of in good with them. They were older, but they let us hang out and teach us stuff.
Man, that's cool, man.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
So when did you start getting into salt?
Around the same time, my buddy Roger's sister moved to Redondo.
Okay.
So we'd go down there. She lived right down from the pier, and we'd, you know, we'd go down there, and it's a lot of bonita at the time. You'd get like a treble hook with a gum wrapper, you know, the silver, and just throw it out and jerk it and catch these fish that pull way harder than anything in the lake.
Yeah.
And my mom lived in Santa Monica at the time. So I would go spend summers with her, and the Malibu Pier had a boat that ran off of that. So we'd go and do a half day on off the Malibu Pier.
Yeah,
it was really cool. And then I kind of didn't... I got into skating and stopped fishing. And in high school, punk rock. And then I ended up going on a... I still fished here and there. But I ended up going on a half day out of Davies, like, right out of high school. And that just lit it up, like, full speed. And I haven't stopped since then. That was, like, you know, mid-90s, early 90s.
Yeah, yeah. So from getting onto the half day of that time, what's your favorite type of fishing? Like spotty, if for salt.
Lure fishing.
Lure fishing, okay.
Anything, that's it.
Spotty,
spotties, yellows, halibut.
Yeah.
It's lures.
And what's your choice? Lure choice.
Depends on the species. saltwater, surface iron. I mean, anything on the surface. Just like freshwater. You want topwater if possible.
Yeah.
Luckily, we pretty much have a year-round topwater bite out here in the lakes. But yeah, and weird lures, like funky colors, funky paint jobs, just
now,
whatever
weird. You paint your own lures?
I paint my own jigs.
Your own jigs, okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Those are nice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What made you want to do that? Just got old, messed up, you want to repaint them?
Nah, I don't even know what started it, honestly. And it wasn't too long ago I started doing it, but I think it was colors. There were colors I wanted, and I'll just paint my old jig. And then, you know, like, oh, you know what? I can draw a little face on here. Or, and then you just, you know, just kept running with it. And
do you put any kind of clear on it? Or
What
do you like to put on it?
So I'm just starting a new thing. Right, actually, from here, I'm going to go pick up some that I just had done. But initially was just Rattle Can Automotive Clear, which holds up decent. It holds up about as good as anything you can go out and buy. But I just recently tattooed this guy who has a paint and body shop. He's been painting his whole life, and he painted some jigs for me, just like a base coat.
Yeah.
And then I just did a little pinstriping, gave it back to him, and he put the clear, and the clear is, it looks
hard.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks bulletproof. I'm going to have to test them out. I got those two. My buddy who makes the jigs, he just put hooks and rings on them. So I'm going to go pick up those two. I'm going to go out fishing in a couple weeks at Benny Florentino, and I'm just going to fish out of those. And I'm getting a big batch of blanks. So,
oh, wow. Does your friend that makes the jigs, does he do that for a living?
Or No.
He just started doing them?
On the side. It's something he's done for years. They're kryptonite jigs. A lot of like the local deckhands.
Yeah.
I think one store he has carries them, but it's just kind of his own thing.
Is it poured or like a CNC?
It's poured, yeah.
Poured?
Yeah. Cool. Poured and filed and all that.
Usually, I used to paint lures, like the LC-110s.
Oh, yeah.
When I started, I just surf fished a lot.
Okay.
So I'd fish down south, the Boiler Rocks, a lot, and they'd be trashed after two or three sessions. So I'd repaint them and then use Devcon, the epoxy.
Oh,
you should
try
that, maybe.
Yeah, I did one batch with epoxy, and it was a lot of work. It was, and I've got like 60 jigs.
Yeah,
I do one at a time and figure out how to dry them right. And,
yeah.
But, this guy with the paint shop, he said he'll show me how to clear them.
There you go, dude.
So, I mean,
That might be something you might want to sell later on down the line, try to do something.
Well, I'm busy with tattooing, so tattooing comes first. Everything else is on the side. So, I do, like, two batches of, like, 50, 60 jigs a year. And this is going to be the second batch this year, the one I'm picking up today, so... We'll see how it goes, you know? There's only so much time in a day.
As far as, like, fishing and tattooing and stuff, what kind of impact has fishing had on, you know, your life or your career?
Well, it's pretty cool because I probably tattooed for 10 years before I even did a fish tattoo.
Yeah.
But then once I did it, it was just like... You know, everybody else was like, oh, I want to fish.
Yeah.
And it just worked out really cool because there's really not that many people doing it. Or you go to a tattoo shop for a fish and they don't really know the anatomy.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of funny to someone who knows what they're looking at.
Yeah.
So, it worked out really cool to where I started doing deckhands and captains. And even better is, you know, you get start tattooing guys that work for companies and they're like kicking out expensive gear. Yeah.
Do you do artwork for, like, any companies?
Yeah, or? I do artwork fairly often for lure companies, website stuff, whatever. Whatever people hit me up for.
That's cool. Yeah, I came across you through that trout tattoo, that Instagram account.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw, I think it was a peacock bass you did. And that's how I found out about,
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Your tattoos and artwork. So.
Nice.
Yeah, I was pretty jealous. I was like, man, look at all this fish he gets to tattoo.
I try to make it look like I do nothing but fish tattoos.
You do a lot more than me, man.
I've been doing it for a while.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
What shop do you work out of?
Shogun Tattoo in Pasadena.
Cool. How long have you been there?
Four of us opened it up in 2002, so it's been like 16 years now.
Oh, really? Yeah. How long have you been tattooing for?
25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 93. I don't know the month, but it was 93.
What was the first tattoo you did?
Someone's name on his back. Freehand Old English.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Prison set up, you know, car string. And yeah, horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. That's a cool thing. You've only tattooed then, huh? You're pretty much...
Yeah, I mean, I've worked in warehouses and stuff. But yeah, since I started tattooing, that's it. I mean, I haven't done anything.
So did you help open this shop? Are you like...
Yeah. Then? Four of us opened it up together. Cool. We all used to work at a shop in Old Town Pasadena called Old Pasadena Tattoo. And then we left it and did our own
thing.
Cool.
Man, that's a business owner. It's cool, man.
Yeah. Working for yourself. It's the way to go if you can do it.
For sure, man. So tell us about your favorite type of fishing. And what kind of lures and setup you like to use gear for, you know, it could be like calico, stripe, or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm all over the place. I'll fish calicos, and then the next day I'll fish spotties or stripers, or, you know. Mainly, I think I'm doing more freshwater these days. A lot of stripers, a lot of largemouth, stuff like that. And when I go to the lake, it's like... I'll bring three rods, jerk bait, swim bait, top water.
Yeah.
And then you just figure out, they're going to eat one of them for sure. Yeah. You just have to figure out, you know, how and where. That's pretty much my year-round freshwater. And then saltwater is like, you know, surface iron, plastics. That's really about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes hard baits.
Yeah. That's cool. So when you... How heavy is stuff are you using, like, for your swim baits and freshwater?
I fish as heavy as I possibly can. I'm fishing freshwater, my little, you know, LC100 jerk baits. I'm fishing 50-pound braid to 25 or 40-pound fluoro.
Wow.
Yeah, super heavy. Because sometimes you get, you know, this double-digit striper that just tool you. you can't. All my hooks are 4X. Like, I don't mess around.
That's good.
You got to be ready. When that, you know, when that fish hits, you want to be able to handle it. So, yeah, I fish as heavy as possible.
What's your biggest striper and your biggest largemouth?
Biggest striper is only 17.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's a good fit. I've caught a lot of teeners. I don't even think I've hooked one over 20. My friends get them every year. I just haven't.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah, that's how it works. It's fun no matter what. Yeah. I got my biggest largemouth last October. It was 12 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Swim bait. Where at? What lake?
DVL.
No way.
Yeah.
How long were you throwing that swim bait till you got hit with that?
It was, you know what? It was just one of those days. They were just going.
Yeah.
It was like, it reminded me of calico fishing. I'd bring it by a bush, boom.
Yeah.
Just they would, like, they weren't following or sniffing it. It was just full on attack.
Yeah.
And I'm fishing the 250, and all my striper swim baits, I have 4X Gamakatsus, which is, it's a really heavy wire hook, but it's a narrow gap. Stripers stick and they don't come off.
Yeah.
Largemouth, they don't get the hook on those. And I was learning it that day because I was just getting smacked and they weren't sticking. The last one that I missed was probably around 10. It was a big bass. And I'm like, something. What? And I looked at my box and I had another 250 with wide gap owners on them. So I just switched out. I switched out, made a few casts, and then I just stuck a giant.
Do you set your swim baits up like, is it Butch Brown? Kind of style, like with the hook.
I don't really fish HUDs.
No,
I don't really fish HUDs. A lot of glide baits, really? Triple trout, a lot of jointed stuff. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of, like, you know,
deep
worms
stuff.
I really don't.
Yeah. It's hard. You know, sometimes I'll throw a swim bait for like an hour and I'll be like, fuck this.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, when I started getting serious about it, the guys who were good at it, they all told me, take one rod and don't bring any other gear. Bring the two big baits, it's a discipline, you know?
Yeah.
And it really is. And it took me, I probably fished a 250 for about 2 years before I stuck a fish on. I mean, I got bit a lot, but I didn't understand how to make them eat it, you know, commit fully and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm way into swim baits now.
Were you taking just what did you take their advice and just take one rod?
I always brought a jerkbait rod too. Just because you know, I'll get bit. Yeah. But I did a lot. I put in a lot of days of just skunks and just like. Dude, yeah. But learning, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, growing up, you know, as a kid, learning largemouth bass with different lures, I think that kind of lends itself to, you know, saltwater or striper, everything else. You know, you've got to. First, you've got to find them. Then you got to figure out what they're doing and how to make them eat. You know, yeah. And that's the whole puzzle. Every time you get to the lake, it's like you're actively hunting. You know, exactly. Not just sitting and throwing blindly. You get there. Where's the wind blowing? Where's the sun at? You know, what was the moon like? You figure out. It's a puzzle, and you go and you just hunt and pick it all apart and make it happen. You know.
Yeah, that's what I've been getting into is the swim baits, like. Same thing. I mean,
it's really frustrating.
Yeah, I go before work. Yeah, you'll see them following it and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
it.
Yeah, and they like sometimes they'll just bump it with their nose, and you're like,
and that's what makes you learn is like, how do I? He's obviously interested in it.
Yeah.
How do I get them to commit? You know, and once you start figuring that out, it's like things just fall into place. It's almost like you could make them eat it. You know. Yeah.
I finally got my first one. Get them, Coach is a company, but it's like a floating bluegill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was awesome.
That's a good looking bait,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome when I finally got one, seeing it crash on it.
Yeah, yeah, it's really rewarding.
Yeah.
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 Have that kind of discipline.
Well, that's the thing. It's like once you figure it out, you're totally comfortable. Yeah. You know, I fish these big baits like I'm fishing a jerkbait. Yeah. I throw them out and I burn them in.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, figuring out where they're at and how to make them react. And sometimes, usually what I do is I'll go out and I almost always fish pretty fast. So I'll go out and if I get a follower that I know isn't going to commit, I'll leave. But I know where he lives. And I just rotate those spots all day. One of those times of the day, that fish is going to be aggressive. And that's kind of the thing, you know. That's pretty much how I fish everything.
Have you thrown some of those big swim baits out in the salt? Like
triple trout. I love throwing triple trout. Oh, yeah. 10-inch triple trout for calicos. They crush it.
Really?
Man. They blow up on it. Almost like a striper.
I'm like, awesome. Man, I want to try.
It's not as hard as freshwater.
You're just throwing it right along kelp lines?
Yeah. My favorite is the beach. If you can get up on the beach, oh, man, it's... I've had some amazing days on the beach with a triple trout. I mean, I was in Cedros standing next to my buddy fishing a swim bait. I probably outfished him 5-1.
Wow.
With the 10-inch triple trout. I mean, they just crushed
it. Are you repainted or just same color?
Same color. I've only fished one because it's always worked. It was actually my buddy Chris Lillis gave it to me as a tip when I tattooed him. It was a limited like Halloween edition triple trout that's like solid orange, like a bass pattern on it. But
yeah,
that's pretty much the only one I fish just because they always swap out the hooks every once in a while. But that bait's killer.
Wow, yeah. I seen dudes catching it on Instagram. I'm like, damn, I want to try that.
It's not like freshwater. It's easier. Yeah,
everything's easier when you go to
salt. Well, yeah, definitely.
To me, at least, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to try that next time you get out.
Yeah, swim baits, that's the go-to, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for your big bass.
I just, you know, I'm not rich. I wouldn't throw my expensive stuff out there. But, you know, you get some stuff that's, you know, you know you're not going to lose or... You feel comfortable throwing out there in the kelp.
Cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
What's your gear? What you have like a favorite reel or you use anything?
I really don't. I'm not like loyal to any brands or anything. I think all my rods now are Phoenix rods. They're just lightweight, thin diameter, super strong.
Yeah.
I really like the Trenx reels for salt. I got, you know, the 3, 4, and 5, and that's pretty much my...
They're solid.
They're super solid, super smooth drags.
Yeah.
Yeah, good torque.
You need to save up the money to buy those.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's cool, man. So tell us a little about how you grew up with your life, like punk rock, stuff like that.
I grew up mostly in Covina.
Mm-hmm.
Just fishing, then got into skating, you know, full board skating really hard. And
you skate a lot? Like, you still skate?
I I wish. I had a pretty bad back injury a couple years ago. Oh, and wow. I've tried to skate once since then, and it wrecked me. So I'm getting better, so hopefully I'll be able to get back out there. But yeah. I was skating up until a couple years ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Super fun. But and then skating, you know, you're watching a video, you hear the music, and like, oh, man, what band is this? And,
yeah.
Pre-internet, so you're just looking at the cover and reading these titles, and you go, you know, the record store, and
yeah,
and then like, oh, this band's playing, go start checking out punk shows and stuff, and yeah, super fun.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's pretty much how me and Justin.
Record store trips were always like,
oh, man.
Bionic. Let's go to Bionic or Vinyl.
I would take the bus to Rhino Records anytime I had extra money, you know.
Blow all your money there.
Yeah, yeah, and it was cool because they had all the flyers, and I remember there was. They had this whole shelf of nothing but flyers, but there was these ones I would always like, what is that? It was Optic Overdrive Tattoo Shop in Claremont, and it was all the flyers were drawn by Corey Miller, who's pretty well known now. But it was just like, wow, look at this artwork, you know? And then all the artwork on the flyers for all the shows, you know?
Yeah.
It was super inspiring. It was way into, you know, music and art. It's all what I've always
Is that what kind of... got you into tattooing, just doing so much art?
I think so, yeah, because I've always been drawing since, you know, I was a kid, and then towards the end of high school, people were getting tattoos. They knew I drew, so they're like, hey, you know, draw this design, and they eventually like tattoo it on me. I'm like, nah, man, I erase when I draw. I don't know how to do that.
The sketchiest thing when you start,
so
you're like,
sketchy.
Oh, man.
And especially, you know, this is early 90s. There's no info. And, you know, my friends who had cool tattoos, I asked them about it. Like, oh, dude, no one's going to tell you anything.
Yeah.
You got to figure it out. You know, I'm like, shit. And I remember I was going to PCC at the time, and I came home from school one day. One of my brother's friends was sitting on my doorstep. When I walked up, he was waiting for me. He's like, hey, do a tattoo on my back. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. He's like, I got the machine. I got the ink. I got all the stuff. I was like, dude, I don't know how to do it. He's like, well, just try.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't care if I mess up? He's like, I don't care. I'm like, well, shit, okay. Let's give it a shot. And then I tried, and I just could not believe how hard it was. It was...
super hard.
Mind-blowing difficult. I mean, it was so difficult. I couldn't believe... And before I even tattooed, I bought tattoo magazines because the artwork, you know, or like the interviews with the bands, whatever. But I always bought tattoo magazines, so I saw what was capable. I just couldn't believe it was that hard. So that's like, I'm going to do more. Who? Anyone else wants a tattoo? You know, after, you know, a few months, everyone's... parents hated me. I scarred up all the kids in the neighborhood. All that stuff. Yeah, yeah. And it didn't matter at that time, you know, back then. It didn't matter how shitty the tattoo was because I'm 16. I got a tattoo. I'm a badass.
Exactly.
You know, that was kind of the attitude of kids back then. Yeah, it was. That was my intro to tattooing.
Yeah.
I remember I had to do a bunch on myself before I could get. Convince anyone to get tattooed.
Yeah, nobody wants a tattoo from someone with 2 weeks experience.
Yeah, exactly.
But most of my friends who started around the same time as me, that we all of our legs are just scratch paper.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you know someone's really into it, when they're willing to just, you know, sacrifice a body part to figure out how to use these tools.
With me, like, you know, I'd be like, I'm gonna try and do portraits. So I did one on myself first, you know, because I was like, I want to fuck someone else up, you know, like give them some wonky portrait.
Right. That's about as
hard as it
gets.
How do you focus though if you're like, there's a little bit of pain? I mean,
yeah.
And it can't be like.
That's what's tricky is when you start, you're trying to have mercy on yourself, but then you wipe and the line didn't stick. So you just got to suck it up, man. I mean, if you really want it, you're going to go after it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, hurt yourself, but excuse me, you figure it out.
I think when I was doing it, I was too concentrated on trying to do a good tattoo that I didn't really paint. Well, some of it, you can't get around it.
Yeah.
But I think that focus kind of helped drown the pain part.
Right,
out.
For sure. You're concentrating.
Yeah.
You got a good tattoo story, like someone that's came in and flipped out or anything? Like from pain or from... There's got to be a good one in there.
Yeah, I'm sure I have a bunch. The most memorable one was poor girl. She two sisters came in. One had tattoos. I tattooed her. The other sister was up, and she had a lot of anxiety about it. Small tattoo. She wanted, you know, like a middle upper back. Cool, sit down. I start outlining it, and like within 2 or 3 minutes, you know, she's in front of me. I'm looking at her back, and I just see her whole body give, and she slumps over. I'm like, oh shit, you know. So I catch her. I'm within arm's reach of the sink, and I get a towel. I run the water and get the towel on the back of her neck. I shut off the water, but I still hear it running. She kind of comes to, you know, and she tries to stand up, and she pissed all over the place. I mean, all the whole chair, the floor, I mean, everywhere.
Sucks.
And I'm like, you know, she's probably going to be professional. Hey, it happens all the time. Don't worry about it. You know, it's totally cool. Let me get you some water. You know, we'll get a soda, get some sugar, and you know, you'll be all right. Just chill out. So she chills out for like 5 minutes or so. All right, I'm going to go to the bathroom, clean myself up. I'm like, okay. You know, you good? Yeah, I'm good. And I see her get up, and she starts walking out. And right when she gets to the door, I just see her knees buckle.
Yeah.
I Superman it over there. I catch her before she hits the ground. I lift her up, pick her up, put her on the bed, and she pisses all over again.
Gosh, dude.
Yeah, poor girl. That's one of those things, you know, if you got to go and you pass out, it's all coming out.
Yeah.
I've seen people fart. Thank God,
you didn't shit your pants.
Have you been puked on yet?
Yeah, it happens,
did you get
man.
Puked on before?
You know what? I've never had that happen. My coworker has had it happen more times than.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never
had
it happen.
It too.
You've had it?
No, but I've seen it happen.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You got a good story, Justin?
Well, my buddy Tyler that I work with, I wasn't tattooing. He was tattooing this girl, and like, you know, she started passing out, and I grabbed her, you know, to hold her up. She was kind of slumping in the chair. So I was holding her up, and she kind of like would come to you and start passing out again.
Yeah.
So then she was just out, and she starts gagging.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Dry heaving. And I see Tyler grabs a trash can and like has like the look of like horror on his face. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Because I'm behind her, so I could see him, you know, and he grabs the trash can, he turns, and then she just, it was like one of those ones where they kind of
projectile vomit. Oh.
It wasn't a lot though, but it was like kind of like where she coughed it up. So it like got on him. But the week before, the piercer, this guy David, I wasn't there, but I guess he got puked on like bad like the week before. And he got all cleaned up, and he's like, God, I could still smell it, you know, like he's like, what the hell, freaking out, trying to figure out where the smell's coming from. Well, I guess it was all stuck in the zipper of his pants and stuff too. So Tyler was like laughing, talking shit, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, I guess it was a little bit of a karma or payback or whatever right there, you know, because when it happened to Tyler, like look in the back and you could see David with the biggest smile on his face, like aha, you know. How about do you have any good like pranks as far as like tattoo shop prank stuff or
no? You know, we
never really did that.
No, you never messed around. You know, it's really funny looking back now. So I started at a shop called Rose and Dagger in East LA, Whittier Boulevard, you know, 95. And that shop had been around since like 78, 79.
Okay.
I think it was a really old shop. All the flash was yellow from cigarette smoke. I mean, they still had ashtrays in there and shit. Had a file cabinet with just stuffed with acetate stencils.
Yeah,
just
that's rad.
Stacks. And I didn't know shit.
Yeah.
So I would go through them. I'd find all the ones with swastikas and just start breaking them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Looking back, I'm like, fuck, man, that was history. That was like, I could have had it too. It all ended up going in the garbage.
Yeah.
I brought my buddy Pete to work. I suck at writing. I always have. And my buddy Pete was good at names. And, you know, East LA wrote a lot of writing. So, like, Pete, come work. Take all the names, you know. You'll get work every time because people are always looking for it. And I remember there was a stack of these old flash. And if you ever seen, like, the old 70s flash, it's thick and heavy. It has tape on the corners. And we would have flash fights, just throwing these. They would, because you could throw them so hard, and they were big. They were bigger than, you know, the standard sheets now. But yeah, I look back at that, like, what a fucking idiot. There was so much history.
History and man, that stuff, cool yeah, it's stuff. Collectible oh, now.
It's,
so
yeah, it's all worth the time. Yeah. You know, nowadays, it's all worth, but, you know, we weren't thinking about yeah. any of that. We were just fucking around because it was boring.
Dave, that he's the owner of the shop I'm at, and same thing, he said it was, you know, that original location,
yeah.
some guy... He came by with a trunk full of, I don't know if it was from, it was from one of the shops down at the Pike, down there. And he's like, you can have all this for like $500. And it was like a trunk full, like signs, acetates,
wow.
all kinds of shit. And he's like, I don't want all that old shit. No one wants garbage. That stuff. And now he's like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Could have had all that for $500.
It yeah,
could have
been, man.
You know, who knows how much.
That history's really disappearing, yeah. too. There's only so much left.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's funny when you're kids, you just don't value anything.
Yeah.
yeah. That's the truth.
It's a trip how different it is now with tattooing.
Oh, it's a, yeah. And that's another thing is I saw it, you know, in the early 90s when there was. There just wasn't many shops. I mean, there were yeah. hardly any shops. Hollywood had like three or four. There was Fat George's, which was the closest. There was one in Inland Empire. Like, there just wasn't that many shops at all.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
hardly any shops. Now, and now like, it's... Well, no. put it this way. My shop, we opened up in 2002, and we had six shops within 5 miles.
Yeah.
I think today there's... 20 or so shops yeah. within 5 miles.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's so saturated.
You know, like Fullerton, man. I don't know if you're.
I drove down through there a couple weeks ago.
So many shops yeah. now. Like, remember, it used to just be like there was Classic and then, God, what was his name? Romo?
Oh, yeah. Romo Inc. I remember going back there in the early
yeah,
days.
Yeah.
yeah. There was only Romo, the Romo Brothers. And, you know, Good Time Charlie's in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There was only a half, but yeah, it's crazy now. It's so saturated.
Yeah. And then people are so like, I'm going to tattoo my face.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
And you know what's a trip is nowadays, everyone's, not everyone, but there's, I'd say the majority of people, they want their first tattoo on their forearm.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, to me, to... it's just so foreign because the way that we grew up, especially in a punk scene, is it, you don't do that until you don't have room anywhere else, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you start off on your forearm, you're a fucking poser. You're just trying yeah. to show off like you have tattoos.
Yeah. yeah.
You haven't even filled up the other stuff first, yeah. you know? And now it's like, we call it the Warped Tour bodysuit.
Yeah.
Do your forearms.
Forearms,
do
neck.
Your shins and your neck.
Yeah.
Take off your shirt and you have negative space.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, it's weird. And
that is kind of weird when people take their shirt off and there's yeah. like ancient
there's,
shit
there's
on
nothing. Them. It's all like, yeah. you know, below the shirt yeah. line. And it's like, you were a poser. If you did that, you were a poser. Now
yeah.
it's normal. So that poser thing is kind of like my generation. But
yeah.
that's how we grew up seeing. Like, I get people come in. Pretty often, they want something on their hand. They don't have anything. I
yeah,
still
yeah.
won't do it.
Yeah, same here.
I'm not going to do that.
I had this guy one time. He came in, and he's probably 19 or so. And he wanted the Chargers, the bolt
yeah.
on his cheek. And he didn't have anything. I'm like,
no way.
No, I'm not doing
not
that.
Doing it.
No way. And they could find someone that'll do it. You know,
yeah.
Some people don't
oh,
really
sure.
have morals or whatever. You know, just want to make
yeah.
a buck, but... Yeah, I.
Yeah, you got to have that respect.
I've done
for,
a few faces, but with people that have already had like
yeah,
extensive work on
yeah.
them. And it's kind of weird that it's almost normal now. Because
yeah.
when you saw someone's face tattooed, like,
you're like
they were
shit.
Thug. They were
yeah.
like,
you don't fuck around.
They
them,
did
yeah.
20 years. Like, these were
yeah.
serious fucking people. You did not even think about putting a tattoo
yeah.
on your face. And now it's almost normal.
Yeah.
It's not shocking anyway.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Dude,
really?
The first face tattoo I did, it was this cholo, and he wanted to get a teardrop, and he got some of, like, rest in peace Flaco on his neck and stuff, and so, you know, little teardrop, I was like, this cool, I want it bigger, I was like, all right, blew it up a little bit, no, I want it bigger, dude, it ended up being about... the size of like a lemon head or something, you know, like
really?
Big, yeah, like a big teardrop. Jeez. I'm like, you sure? Yeah.
You guys ever have people come back and go, this is what I wanted?
Sure, I have. It's been a long time. I think just because I've been doing it so long now, I could kind of filter out people. You know, yeah. You get a feel for them just talking to them, and it's kind of weird because sometimes people will have been referred to you, or they know about. They want you to do it.
Yeah,
and if it's something you're not comfortable with, they try and convince you. Like, come on, I seen your stuff, or I heard about, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What I've learned over the years to do now, which it works every time, is, you know, I don't think I'm the right guy for the job.
Yeah.
You, as soon as you say that, they're like, thank you for your honesty. Yeah. Move on.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to deal with, you know, whatever kind of weird personality is going to come back or anything like that.
Yeah. Aside from, like, the tattooing fish and fishing-related stuff, is there something else that you, like, you know, is like your thing or you enjoy doing?
I love traditional American and Japanese. And traditional American is super challenging for me because it's so simple. I'm doing more of it now than I ever have, and I'm it's like a nonstop learning experience like everything else. But growing up drawing the way I drew, I always think of, you know, dimensions and blending colors and traditional American really simplifies that. Yeah. So everything's got to be in the right place without, you know, putting those details of the different dimensions. That stuff has to all be implied with the least amount of lines and shading possible and just read as like a solid image, you know. But yeah, American, Japanese, stuff like that. People ask me, what do you like to... I usually just say anything organic, you know, plants, animals... Yeah. You want a car, you want buildings, I'm not the guy. It's geometric stuff, I would be scared to go to work if that's all I had to do.
Yeah.
I would find a different job if that's all people got, you know. More natural, free-flowing stuff is where my head's always been.
Yeah, see, it's the same for me. Yeah, the geometric stuff, like...
I stress,
those
man.
Guys, are,
I
get, like, all the stippled stuff and all that. I'm like,
the stippled stuff, God, I don't mind, but it's a lot of these... A lot of now, the big trend, which it helps my tattooing, you know, my line work is getting better. I can see it. And I'm sure a lot of it's from these walk-ins who just want line work.
Yeah.
Just line work, which is so stressful because you can't hide any mistakes.
Yeah,
you know?
There's no shading to hide anything.
There's no shading. Yeah, you can hide fix or hide anything. But they don't want any shading, you know. Like, I don't remember being nervous doing a tattoo until the past couple of years, as long as I've been doing it, because it's like, shit, man, I gotta nail this. If you sneeze or you move or, you know, something's off on my end, there's no hiding it.
Especially when it's like...
And it's on the forearm.
Like, yeah.
And they're gonna,
and
what
they have
do,
circles in it or parallel line. Yeah, it has
and,
to be
and
like...
the thing with forearm tattoos is they just stare at it. It's their first tattoo. And they just can't stop looking at it. And they break it down to like, oh, you see this little part? It's like, dude, like, I'm not a computer that's... You know, you have to really look to find that imperfect.
Yeah,
it's different. It's an ever evolving thing, you know. Yeah. But it's kind of a trip how that stuff got popular.
Yeah, yeah. Lettering was a hard thing for me too. Like you said,
it still is for me.
I got a better grasp on it. I think my buddy Ricardo, like he started out as a lettering guy, so he showed me a lot.
Oh, good.
But now he does, he works at Black Anchor and, on Melrose.
Mm-hmm.
And now he just does, like black and gray, like, you know, realism type stuff. And does hardly any writing, but man, his writing's sick. It's funny how it kind of, he transitioned from just being a lettering guy to now he's just doing black and gray.
That's cool.
You know, realistic stuff.
Yeah, it's a trip. I started off like, you know, a lot of my friends were cholos, and I started in East LA, so all I was doing was black and gray. That's it, you know, cholo style stuff. And it's funny when I think about it, because I started East LA, and it's Mexican community, and they want Aztec, and I don't know shit about Aztec.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, and you can't fake it. This is real history, and there's no internet. So it's funny when I tell people, they trip out, but I had to go get a library card. Go to the library, check out books on Aztecs, read the stories, look at the images. Then I can draw something that's historically accurate and will make a good tattoo. You know, like if you wanted to do a good, accurate tattoo back then, you got to do a lot of homework. There's no way around it. I mean, you could trace and copy, but you only get so far, you know. But yeah, we had to go to the library.
Yeah.
That was our Google.
There was no Google.
Yeah. Yeah. Check out a book for a couple of weeks, read about it, study the images, and, you know, make a sheet of flash or whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm mostly doing color. I love black and gray. I don't do this nearly as much as I used to. I love doing it. But yeah, now it's mostly color. And I'm sure the fish is a big part of that, you know.
Yeah.
People want to see your colors. And
yeah, your stuff's awesome, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like I said, I came across your work on that trout tattoo. And then, I started checking your stuff out. I'm like, man.
It's really good, man.
I get stoked if I'm able to do a fish here and there. man, look at all the fish this guy does.
Yeah, I try. I try and force feed it to people.
Yeah. I guess if you just kind of post that stuff, you're going to get more of
that's
a
it. Yeah. And that's another thing.
Towards that.
Yeah, it's another thing with tattooing now is people specialize in things. You know, back in the 90s, people had their thing, but I mean, even if you specialize in something, you're doing everything. That butterfly, you're doing that anklet, you know, like you have to be able to do it all. Where now people kind of have a specialty. I wouldn't say I have a specialty, but I know fish well because, you know, I spend a lot of time on the water and I study them. I draw them in my free time. So that works out pretty well for me. And the fact that there aren't a ton of people locally tattooing fish.
Yeah.
And then too, because the people that I've tattooed where they're getting, you know, they're fishermen, they're like, oh, fuck, you fish? I'm coming to you now, you know?
Right.
You built,
Yeah, for sure.
It's just like when Nick was saying, you know, when you meet the dads that are the fishermen, you kind of click up,
It's like talking about
a school event or something.
Older kid, so he's 14, and going through the years with them, I was a younger dad, younger at the time, you know?
Right.
I wouldn't talk to any parents because they would just, I was younger dad. Then you'd meet some older dad that liked fishing at a Bass Pro Shop.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd click.
Right.
That's how you meet. So right. I've talked to a lot of older dads about fishing because that's all I got in common with anyone, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, it's a common
thing. When you talk about punk or hardcore, it's they don't know.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's an even smaller community. I'm surprised you recognize my shirt when I walked up.
That's an Infest, dude. Right. That's a great man. Yeah.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Fishing wise, do you have like an epic fishing story or one that stands out to you or a couple or what?
Yeah.
Or trip that you went on.
Yeah. I mean, I have one that was just magical visual moment, an experience kind of a thing, you know, and it was a small fish, but it was just the whole experience. I was in Gonzaga Bay on my kayak fishing for Cabrilla. And I was rolling a weedless through the sargassal. Sargassal is kind of like kelp. And the Cabrilla would blow up on it. You know, it's just like fishing the weedless for calicos, but you're catching these grouper. And I remember I was right off of this point. I was all by myself. All my friends were, miles away. And I'm just soaking it in, It's just calm, mellow. It's 11. Perfect weather, and I'm just really laid back, and I'm winding in this weedless through this sargasso, and I hear this shunk, this loud suction noise, that made me kind of duck. And I look, and I'm sitting in my kayak. I look up, and this fish is airborne. I'm like, what the fuck? I remember it slow motion. This fish is airborne. It lands, and when it lands, my rod just doubles over. I'm like, what? No way. That fish blew up on my... It fish launched... This is this Cabrilla, 4-pound Cabrilla, launched 5 feet in the air with my weedless in its mouth. When it landed, I was bent. What? And I just, cranked it in. And I remember talking to it. You're an amazing animal. Oh, my God. Had my GoPro. Of course, it wasn't on, but I'll never forget that.
Yeah,
I was just
that's awesome.
Wow. What
so you've gone down and fished a lot in Baja?
Oh, yeah. As often as I can.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't since I hurt my back. Now I can go, but I haven't been able to go because I haven't been able to drive for long periods or anything. But before I hurt my back, 3 or 4 times a year. And, Sea Cortez, Cedros, San Quintin. I mean, all around, mainly north. So I used to do La Paz a lot, the southern part, but mainly the northern Pacific and Sea of Cortez sites.
So it's you take your kayak down or you go
kayak boat? Or get a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, hire a boat. Yeah.
You got any good kayaking stories?
That was probably the
jumping,
best one.
Still jumping on you?
Oh, yeah, man. That was probably my most scary experience
ever.
Dude,
that's why I had a float tube and I'm like, I want to go to Newport. Then I seen these fucking stories and I'm like, not fucking doing it. About seals jumping on top of you,
dude,
and shit,
dude. Yeah, I mean, I was prepared to get mauled by a giant bull, man. It scared the shit out of me. I went to go fish out of Redondo. I launch in King Harbor, and it's just packed with fog. Fuck, I can't go out. You know,
yeah,
be a speed bump out there. So I'm just gonna fish in the harbor till it clears. It just wasn't clearing. Start catching bonita. It's fun. I was fishing sardines, and then I get bit, and it's just going. I'm like, what the hell is this? Then this female sea lion is just greyhounding. I'm like, fuck, okay. Wind it in. By the time I get her next to the boat, I'm surrounded by like 15 like small female sea lions. All this barking. I'm just like, I got to get this hook out of her mouth, you know? Yeah. And as I'm like fumbling around, I hear, ooh. From like a distance, I look up, there's a giant knothead. You know, like when you see a sea lion swimming, they kind of go up and down. This thing is, his eyes are locked on me, and his head's not going under the water. He's just full bore, come around. Shit. I just backed off the drag and started paddling as hard as I could. Yeah. Let that thing go back. And I'm paddling as hard as I could, and this thing's just smoking me. Gets right next to me, giant knothead. Leaps up like it's going to bite my face. I remember I covered my head with my arm and my shoulder, and then it just smacked its head like on the water right next to my kayak, and then just stood there looking at me like, oh, fuck with my bitches. You know what I mean? I was like,
oh, man.
And I'm just, you know, my nerves are shot. I swore I was going to get, you know, bit. And I still have this sea lion on there, this small female.
Later.
I didn't want to leave all that line, you know. Yeah. I don't like to be that guy. So I paddled to shore. I horsed her in. I got her like within 5 feet, and she broke. And my cool. But now I still have to paddle back to my car. And there's only one way, and I got to go by that bull in his harem, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it took me like half an hour to build the nerve. And when I did go by, they didn't give a shit. They didn't even know me.
Yeah.
But man, yeah, that was probably my most scary, because I swore I was getting mauled. Like, jeez, it was going to happen.
That's crazy shit, dude.
Especially a giant bull like with a harem like they don't mess around.
Yeah.
That's why I never wanted a kayak.
But I mean, that's usually pretty uneventful. I spent years on my kayak, and I go miles out there.
How far out you go?
Usually 2 or 3 miles. It depends where I'm at. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, within a mile. Mm-hmm. Really depends where, but I'd say if you average it out, I'd be 2 or 3 miles, you know.
Wow. A lot of La Jolla, big workout, huh?
good exercise. Yeah. Until I got hurt, I always worked out, you know. So yeah. It wasn't anything really physically demanding. And you always have a radio just in case.
Exactly.
Luckily I never needed it. But yeah, I used to kayak a lot. I float tubed a lot, then I got into kayaking and
La Jolla, huh?
Used to do La Jolla a lot.
Good down there, huh?
That's one of the better places for sure. That's probably the best place. I mean, along our coast. Malibu's really good too, but Malibu's got some serious surf.
Yeah.
The Yellows don't run there as often.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to get down to La Jolla soon. I just haven't had the time.
It's a cool area, and it's become super popular. It's always crowded nowadays.
Exactly.
I think I started fishing down there like around 03, 04. Wow. It was a lot smaller community down there. But
With Instagram, it's crazy how popular fishing has gotten over the last, you know, 10 years.
10 years. Yeah, that's what I say. Like 10 years ago, it kind of like almost became cool. Almost like
exactly,
like wearing a fishing shirt 15 years ago. Like, it's dork.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bass Pro. Like, what is this dork? But now, you know, it's like, it almost reminds me of like how skating was in the 80s, like, oh, that's a cool shirt. Oh, look at the fish. And look at, you know, everything's got style. It's not generic out of the woods kind of looking stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a trip how it's like
kind of mainstream. Groups, a lot of, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. I mean,
you get
to meet a lot of people.
Yeah. You know? A lot of different people. Yeah, for sure.
People get real mad about their spots getting blasted on the internet, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and that, you know, when I fish, I don't have a home lake. I fish 5 lakes, and all of them are like an hour to an hour plus away from me. So if I do show a picture, I'm not going to give anything away. Because for some people, this is their home lake. They live next to it. I don't want to burn their spot.
Yeah.
And I don't want to show stuff like some... some lakes I'll have these one spots that just, you know, they kick out. So I'm not showing anything. If I do take a picture, usually I just take the fish. I don't put myself back
on. That's pretty much what I do.
Yeah. Or if I do, you know, drive away, just some generic shoreline, you know. Yeah, it's I get it. You know, our, we just have these small man-made reservoirs. There's only so much real estate.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to burn it. You don't want to.
And over the last 10 years, I feel like it's gotten so much pressure on the lakes, too.
Yeah, it's definitely super,
it's crazy.
Super popular. Yeah.
But you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you think about, you know, how small our reservoirs are and how many people are fishing them all the time, then look at the top 10, top 20 bass of all time, biggest. They're here. Most of them are California,
exactly.
You know, which is pretty amazing considering the amount of people and the size of the reservoirs.
Exactly. Have you gone down south, the lakes down south at all to fish?
I haven't. No. No, I don't think I've ever fished any lakes further south than Skinner.
Really?
Yeah.
Skinner's a good lake. I like Skinner a lot.
I love that lake. I kind of fish lakes by season, and Skinner is like my summer lake. You know, I'm just stopping fishing Skinner and moving.
I love fishing way in the back where it's like about 4 or 5 feet with all the like little trees and stuff.
Oh, yeah, and the stick. Well,
yeah, dude, I love that.
I'll give something away. My favorite thing to do there is the weedless baits, like you fish for calicos.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, 6-inch weedless, 8-0
right
on
top.
Hook. Just burn it through the grass.
Really?
Burn it through the grass. Yeah.
That's where I caught my first creature bait there.
Oh, okay.
Because I've never fished creature. I would just either be a spinner bait, jerk bait guy.
Right, right.
But then I started throwing creature baits just to YouTube.
Right.
How the fuck you do this, you know? And I caught a nice bass there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Love that lake.
Yeah, that's a fun lake.
It's a mission, like I said, for me just to run to Huntington Harbor. It's fucking right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
like
the furthest lake
away,
I drive
to,
and I hate driving back from there, man.
Dude, you're so fucking tired.
But I'm like, I got the whole day off.
Yeah.
You know, I'll spend most of my day on the water. It's worth it, you know.
Yeah, I'll leave at 1 just because I don't like fighting the fucking traffic.
Well, I'm the same. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm used. I mean, I think DVL is the only one where I usually do full days. But like Pyramid or Castaic, no way. No way.
I bet, dude, you get fucked.
It's the worst.
Traffic, yeah,
it's not worth it. I was trying to find a truck that I could put a bed in, where a bed that I could sleep in, you know, just so I could do a full day, pass out, and then drive home when traffic's gone. And I gave up on that mission. Yeah, the traffic's awful out here.
It is. You know, it's a big deterrent to go out that way for me, because I want to try Castaic, but I'm like, I don't want to hit the fucking traffic.
Yeah, I'm off the water by noon usually.
Yeah, that's what I think I'm going to try that next couple weeks.
Yeah.
But well, thanks for coming on the podcast, bro. It's
been thanks for
really
having
cool.
Me,
and anything you want to promote?
If you want, you know, fish tattoos, you could check me out, Tattooed on Instagram. It's probably the best place. I answer all my DMs. I try to, I'll have those jigs going, and those sell out super quick.
I bet.
So keep your eye on that, you know, if you want one of those jigs. And I think this new process we're using is going to be pretty bulletproof.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, yeah, just check out the Instagram.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate
it. All right.
That.